it falls away from me, I guess I'm wrong. I grab it and all it smashes me, again I'm wrong. Try to think what's over me, it makes me crawl. And then she runs away from me, faster than I.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Our Podcast Could Be Your Life. My name is Caroline.
I'm Jeff.
And today we are entering week three of the endurance test that is I Hate Music Month.
Oh, that's putting it lightly.
And last week was my horror, and this week is Jeff's horror. We're talking about Dinosaur Jr. A favorite of mine, who Jeff apparently went from being kind of indifferent about to really disliking.
You know, like, okay, here's the thing. I don't know how you can muster any feeling other than indifference toward this band. Like, I just... Here's the thing. I am surprised you like this band as much as you do.
You know why I like them so much?
Why?
I'm sad a lot, and I love the 70s. So there you go.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about them and revisiting them. I will get the urge a lot of the time where I'm like, I gotta listen to Dinosaur Jr. I'm feeling listless. I gotta have that sadness. And, they have, like, three really good albums that I love a lot and a bunch of shit that no one could care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, we're kind of on the same page here.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't say three, nor would I say the good ones are really good.
Really? I'm surprised you don't like at least You're Living All Over Me.
I do like You're Living All Over Me.
How could you not?
Because it's not that good.
Oh, honey. Well,
all right. I'm trying to think of where to even begin. Last week, Andrew compared Sonic Youth to Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Both of us kind of bristled at this comparison.
Because it's really wrong.
Yeah, I mean...
I love Andrew. I think he's a genius. But that is so inaccurate. Yeah. I know what you're gonna say. And I kind of have to say, I know. But keep in mind that I have some questionable tastes.
You have some questionable tastes?
Yeah. We did do a fish episode.
That is true.
I am also a big Grateful Dead fan.
That is also true.
I'm a Frank Zappa fan. I like a lot of dumb bullshit.
That is very true. What do you think I'm about to say?
That Dinosaur Jr. is basically Pearl Jam?
Yeah, except, honestly, Pearl Jam overall is better than Dinosaur Jr. I mean, I would say You're Living All Over Me is probably better than any Pearl Jam album, but, like... any other Dinosaur Jr. album, like, give me fucking 10 or Verses any day of the week. Like, Jesus.
Nothing really beats, you know, Jeremy Spoken in class today.
Jeremy's a great song.
I think the only Pearl Jam song I've really heard all the way through is Even Flow. Really? And that was because it was in Rock Band.
You haven't heard Jeremy all the way through?
I don't think so. I've heard enough of it to know what it is.
What about Alive?
What one is that one?
Oh, I'm still alive. Yeah, yeah.
No, but I am familiar with POD's classic Alive. For the very first time.
They really built on the foundation that Pearl Jam laid for them.
Yeah, and Pearl Jam built on the foundation laid by Kiss. Classic American rock band Kiss.
Sure. Wait, you don't know Daughter?
I don't know. I know
don't
that
call
fucking...
me daughter.
Oh yeah, no. I know that one. Yeah. I didn't know they did that. I thought that was Blues Traveler or some bullshit.
It's not one of the better Pearl Jam songs, admittedly, but
what's the best Pearl Jam song? What's your favorite?
Oh fuck, man.
Gotta be Even Flow, right?
Even Flow. Maybe Jeremy. Do the Evolution I like a lot.
I don't fucking know that shit.
Part of that might be nostalgia though, because like the video really blew my little 10-year-old mind back in the day.
Yeah.
I also like Go off of Verses, which you probably don't know, I'm guessing.
No, I don't go for Pearl Jam deep cuts.
I mean, I don't really either. Like, but like really, Dinosaur Jr.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You like Neil Young, right?
Yes.
Okay. You like a little bit of Sonic Youth?
Sure.
All right. Well, here we go. Here we go, buddy.
Jay Masis is nowhere near the songwriter that either of those acts are. He's not the front man that either. I mean, not that Thurston
that
Moore
I agree,
is even
but...
a great front man, but Jay Masis is definitely not as good a front man as Thurston Moore.
Thurston Moore, I think, is a good front man.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a great singer, though. Like,
no, but he's got that attitude.
Sure, sure.
He's got a persona that he works really well, which is kind of just a dick.
Right. Yeah.
But he works that really well.
A contrived coolness.
Yeah. Which is kind of embarrassing now that he's like 58 years old.
Well, you know.
But I feel like we've talked about that before.
I'm sure we have.
Because, like, Thurston, I love you, but just give it up. You're not 25.
But I just feel like Bug was their last gasp. And everything they did after that is worthless. Like, I really
love Green Mind, but it's just because I'm sad.
But this is, like, the blandest, beigest alt-rock, and fucking, like...
It was after Green Mind, and Green Mind, like, I kind of
Green Mind,
get,
too, like...
Okay, Green Mind, like, I kind of get it. I have an emotional connection to that album. A song like Thumb, that's my favorite Dinosaur Jr. song, because it speaks to me.
Okay.
On one level I agree with you, and on another level I can't let it go because I just like really have a deep connection to that album. I feel what Jay's laying down there. Everything else after that, even like I do like some of their post reunion stuff, but even that is just like I don't fucking need it. And the three albums that they did post Green Mind and pre reunion are just absolute worthless garbage that no could give a shit about.
Yeah, and I was kind of amused when you sent me your list of albums that you wanted to cover because you neatly cleaved their discography in half for me, which I appreciated.
Yeah. And I also skipped their first album, which is good, but there's not a lot to talk about.
Right. I mean, like, there's
I'd rather talk about Green Mind anyway because I love it.
There's already not a lot to talk about. Like, I'm already like thinking like, what the fuck am I going to say about fucking Farm? Like, you know,
it's got a couple of Lou Barlow tunes. Yeah. I know you, your buddy Lou Barlow.
Yeah, I like Lou Barlow.
He seems cool. He does meth. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, who knew? But yeah,
he's pretty cool.
He does, or at least has done meth.
And you know, I wouldn't really expect that out of Lou Barlow.
No, well, yeah. And that's the thing, it's like you'd expect that Jay Maskus would, out of that crew, you'd expect that he was like smoking his weight in weed.
Not, yeah.
And he's like straight edge. Lou Barlow, on the other hand, weed Forreston.
Sure. Smoke a Bowl, he wrote that song. for
not Drake. A great song, but that is a great record.
Actually, that might have been a Jason Lowenstein song. I can't remember.
Well, whatever. You know what? The sentiment is there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a sentiment we can all get behind.
And apparently Sebadoh used to play shows on acid, according to an interview he did with Mark Prindle.
Sure. See, I can't imagine wanting to do anything. I don't know. Like,
one time I played a show, I was pretty stoned.
But yeah, but that, see, acid is so, like, I don't know. It's exhausting for me, and I just can't imagine.
It seems like it would be difficult.
Yeah, I can't imagine like having to go and do something. Like, I don't mind, like, I can understand like playing an instrument or something, but I can't imagine like going and playing a show. Like, because in the middle of it, I'd just be like thinking about some other shit and forgetting what I'm doing.
Even the Butthole Surfers said that they didn't really play shows on acid.
Yeah, like they were doing it all the time. But,
sure.
You know, yeah, and they have said that because it's fucking hard to play.
Right. You want to put on a good show.
Yeah. And they sure did, those Butthole Surfers.
So Jay Masis is straight edge.
Yeah. So he's just boring.
Yeah. Maybe he should start doing drugs.
Yeah. I listened to one of the few WTF episodes I've listened to, because I don't like Mark Maron. But I did listen to Jay Masis's, and he just sounds like he is falling asleep.
Yeah.
All the time. But I did, but it's still, like, there was a lot of stuff that I related to, like, with depression. And a lot of Dinosaur Jr.'s music to me is sounding like I want to make a connection with other people, but I just, like, I don't understand why I'm like this. I don't understand why I keep fucking up. And I relate to that a lot. And so I think that's why I like them more than, like, Captain Beefheart, I think, is a genius and all that. Dinosaur Jr., I'm just kind of like, I know, but also, like, feelings. Except for You're Living All Over Me, which is stone cold, classic, perfect record. I don't know what your deal is.
That's a nice sentiment, and, like, in theory, I relate to it, too. But just, like, listening to fucking Jay Masis, like, warble for goddamn 45 minutes, or fucking Farm is an hour long.
Yeah, like, it is long.
I hate his voice. I really hate his voice.
So that's a stumbling block.
Definitely. Like, listening to him just for an extended period, and it only gets worse as it goes along, is the thing. On Bug and You're Living All Over Me, it's a little more tolerable because it's sort of buried in the mix under this, you know, sludge noise rock guitars.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah. See, even on those records, though, I feel like the production is the best thing about it. But yeah, like, from Green Mind on, he's right up there in the mix. He's loud and clear. He's whining all over the place.
He's whining all over you.
He is whining all over me. And I can't take it. I just want him to shut the hell up. I mean, and here's the thing, like, Lou Barlow, I am a Sebadoh fan.
Sure.
I think a lot of what they did is boring indie rock, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because when Sebadoh was on, like, they were really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did, like, Sebadoh 3 is a classic album.
Sure.
But, yeah, a lot of that stuff is just like, I don't have time for this. What are you doing?
Well, he's a very prolific songwriter, you know?
So they can't all be winners.
Right.
Lou.
He's the kind of guy that churns them out. He's, you know, like Robert Pollard or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just law of averages, a lot of that stuff is going to be average to bad. But his songs, though, they're simple, clean, direct. They get their point across. They don't fucking have this, and I like his voice. It's not a,
yeah, I would say Lou is definitely the better of the two singers in Dinosaur Jr.
And he's not a especially distinctive singer, but he does have an emotiveness and just like and a modicism. He's a good singer. He's a good singer and an emotive one.
Sure.
So I appreciate that about him. And his songwriting is simple and direct a lot of the time.
Not unlike Polito or something, though.
Yeah, but that's a rare exception. I mean,
yeah, that's a really good song, though.
Really?
Polito? Yeah.
I guess.
Well, fine. We don't always have to agree, Jeff. That's what this month is all about.
Sure. But just like, just listen to fucking 703, man. Chuck all your Dinosaur Jr. albums in the garbage and put on 703.
Like, I can have both. I have time.
You know, and honestly, like, both of the songs that Lou Barlow contributed to Dinosaur Jr. Before the breakup. Well, I don't know if he did one for the first album, but I'm talking about the two albums we're going to talk about today. I don't really think either of them are especially good.
You don't like Don't?
Don't is okay, but like...
See, that's relatable.
It took him 10 seconds to write that fucking song, though.
I know, but you know... Sometimes that's how you feel, bro.
Sure.
Think I never felt like that? Of course I did. I always feel like that.
but that's the thing is, like, I don't even feel like Lou Barlow's contributions to Dinosaur Jr. were especially significant.
I think the songs he wrote on Farm are really good. Imagination Blind, especially.
But he must have been some crucial soul of the band or something, because as soon as he left, it was... fucking straight down the toilet for Dinosaur Jr. So let's get into these albums. So we're skipping over the self-titled, or not even the self-titled, because they were Dinosaur first.
And then some stupid band full of hippies were like, our band is called Dinosaur, you can't do that. So they're like, fine, we're Dinosaur Jr.
Right. And no one gives a shit about that band anymore, so...
Yeah, because whoever fucking heard of these people?
Kind of.
Well, I mean, it was like people that were famous, like, in the 60s, but who could give a shit?
Like who?
I don't know, like... Probably Marty Balin or something. And you know I love Jefferson Airplane, but who could give a shit about that?
No, wait, so, like, Dinosaur was actually made up of, like... members from other bands?
Or? Yeah, it was like a super group of stupid old hippies.
Sounds like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, who gives a fuck about that band? Dinosaur Jr. is a cooler name than Dinosaur, though.
Like, yeah, I would agree.
So, you know,
the
maybe...
The reason that they chose the name Dinosaur was that they liked a lot of music that, like, punk kind of looked down on. You know, they like your dumb hippie bullshit and Led Zeppelin and all that stuff, which that was definitely happening in punk at the time, like Minutemen doing Steely Dan covers and all that, but Dinosaur Jr. wanted to be like, this is what we're about. Mm-hmm. Dumb hippie bullshit.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that first album, I've listened to it before.
Not very memorable.
Yeah.
Which is a big problem with a lot of these Dinosaur Jr. albums.
Yeah, ain't that the fucking truth?
Yeah. You're gonna bring me over to your side.
I was hoping as much. You know, I was hoping I would make you a Swans convert, but that didn't happen. But maybe I can make you an anti-Dinosaur Jr. convert.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So, going to You're Living All Over Me, their second album.
Stone Cold hits everyone.
Not a great album, but very obviously the best thing they ever did. I mean,
it is a great album, and it's the best thing they ever did.
Right.
It is a classic album. It is rightfully heralded by everyone except Jeff, who is wrong.
I'll herald it.
Sure. Little Fury Things?
Yeah.
that song owns so hard.
It's probably their best song.
Yeah, it kind of is. It features Lee Ronaldo.
Really?
Doing something.
Is he doing all the feedback-y shit?
I have no idea. He's on there, though. I think he does vocals on it. Hmm. Like background.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's there.
Well, it is like harmonies. Yeah, it says on Wikipedia backing
vocals.
He's there.
You know I love Lee.
Sure. We all love Lee.
Who couldn't? He's precious. And he was the George Harrison of Beatles. Sonic Youth. He was the George Harrison of the Beatles. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Right. Okay, let's talk about this album a little bit.
Let's do. I always am up for that.
Like I said before, I feel like this album is a masterpiece of production more than anything else. Like,
talk about that. That's something I don't hear.
Listen to those guitars, man. They sound great.
Yeah. They do.
The guitar sound on this album is magnificent. Like, and just the sounds he gets it to make. Like, the solos on this album are great. The solos are great, which I cannot say about any other Dinosaur Jr. album.
And some of the, like, like Sludge Feast.
Sure.
That's
straight Metal God riffage on Sludge Feast.
God damn right it is. It's great.
Interesting, but fun fact, Sludge Feast, first Dinosaur Jr. song I ever heard.
Yeah, that got you on board, and then you listened to the rest of it, and you were like, no, thanks.
Well, I think I used to like Dinosaur Jr. more. Like,
I feel like that's happening to me. Oh my god.
Well, like, I think I was more of a, like, canon devotee when I was in high school than I am now, you know? And when I was
this a thing where you were kind of forcing it?
I think not even forcing it, because I think my enjoyment was pretty genuine, but I have less... There's less about this album that strikes me as extraordinary than, like... I think the Dinosaur Jr. were, like, the least interesting of the canon 80s punk indie whatever bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they did the least unique things.
Yeah, I think some of that is just context of, like, who was doing fucking guitar solos like that in that scene, in that period of time. But, God love them. You know it's a great song? It's In a Jar.
Eh.
What?
I kind of think, like, the last... three songs.
Don't need them?
Who needs them?
Well, I like them. I like them all. I like this whole album.
Well,
it's really good.
Okay, and again, like, guitar sound is the best thing about this album. And just,
yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, that just whirlwind of feedback that opens Little Fury Things and the screams.
Got that wah-wah pedal.
Yeah, definitely.
Love that. Haven't heard wah-wah like that since Watch the Doors movie.
The absolute monster tone he gets on Sludge Feast, which is just total, like, ass-kicking. Tar Pit is, like, proto-shoegaze, practically.
Sure.
Just the way it... Just this overwhelming.
It was proto shoegaze like a year before. Like you made.
Yeah,
me
I guess
year.
I guess it wasn't that long before shoegaze, but yeah. Still, it's just it. That's like a guitar. There's a whole world in that guitar sound, is what I'm saying.
Oh, this album came out a week after my brother was born.
That's nice.
Isn't that sweet?
I suppose.
Not really. It's not. It's just a nice coincidence. Mm.
But you know, like, that's... The songs are pretty good, but I don't think they're great. I mean, and okay, you said earlier that Polito is a great song. I don't know what you're talking about there.
I just really like it. I don't know.
But it's...
I'm stupid. It doesn't matter. I'm stupid and my opinions are bad.
Okay, see, Caroline, that's... You do that anytime I disagree with you. You're just like, I'm stupid. It's like, no, I want you to, like, explain.
To argue with you, I can't argue with anybody about anything because I know that I'm wrong. But, yeah, I don't know. I just really like Polito. It took me... For a long time, I didn't like it. Like, for a long time, I would skip it. But now, I don't know. I just... Something about it, I think, is interesting. It's a kind of weird use of a ukulele. It's kind of ominous. It's like, you know, talking about how his stomach always hurts. And mm-hmm. We've all been there.
We've all been there. Sure, I've had a stomach ache before.
Yeah.
Finally, music that speaks to me and my experience.
Yeah, I had a stomachache today.
How bad?
It wasn't a stomachache so much that I just felt like I was going to throw up. But I haven't thrown up in over a decade now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you don't drink.
I don't really drink. And I go very long periods of time without throwing up, sometimes to my detriment, because sometimes that would make me feel better. But then sometimes I get kind of freaked out, because I'm like, well, it's scary. I don't know.
To throw up?
Yeah.
It's a relief, though. Like,
I know that.
Throwing up sucks, but like once you're done, you feel so much better.
I know that, but sometimes you're afraid. I'm afraid of throwing up because I'm stupid.
I'm trying to think, like, apart from alcohol, when was the last time? Because I don't get sick very often. Like,
yeah, the last time I threw up, I had the flu in 10th grade. Like, super bad.
And that was over a decade ago?
Or, like, close to it.
Yeah.
It was close.
Dude,
almost a decade ago.
Next year is the 10th anniversary of my freshman year of college.
Wow.
Do you know how fucking old that makes me feel?
28?
Well. Oh, man.
You asked.
I'm turning 28 next year.
Yeah, well, it's, you know what? It happens to the best of us.
Dude, I'm going to be 30. Like, very soon.
If you're lucky, you're going to be 30.
Yeah.
Think of it that way.
Suppose I could get hit by a bus.
I hope you don't.
Because
who would fill your shoes on this podcast?
Andrew.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, he doesn't like good music.
Yeah, he hates music.
He thinks Sonic Youth sounds like Pearl Jam.
I think sometimes he... Like, I don't think he has opinions... to be contrarian, but I think that sometimes he says things that he kind of knows are wrong.
Right. I mean, I think he's like fucking with us a little bit.
A little bit. Like, I think that he's sincere. Like, all of his opinions I think are sincere, because who the fuck is he trying to impress? Mm. But, hi, Andrew. I know you're listening.
How's it going, bud?
Hope you're having a good time with your wife.
Mm.
Who may also be listening. I met you once. You were very nice.
But yeah, it's like Sublime said. Life is too short, so treasure the one you got. Because you might get run over, or you might get shot.
See, that's deep.
Mm-hmm. And he died in 1997, so...
Oh, the Sublime guy?
Yeah, Bradley Noel.
Corky Sublime.
Corky. Yep. Heroin overdose. Sad way to go.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, if you're in Sublime, what else are you going to do?
You got to do. But anyway, yeah, this album is good.
You're living all over me?
If you like guitars and you like a guy that sounds like Neil Young but worse.
Oh, God. See, I strongly dislike the Neil Young comparison.
Yeah, well, I just mean vocally.
Like,
I don't think they
both have high-pitched voices, but Neil Young has a little fucking passion. Like, Jay Mass is just fucking... he just opens his mouth and, like, barely enunciates his fucking words. And...
Yeah, that's how I feel when I'm depressed.
Well, still.
You know, that's no excuse.
No, it isn't.
Shout out to Wharton Tears, the producer on this album. Jeff's bro.
Yeah. You know what? It's probably your fault this album is good.
It's his fault. Also, one of the bonus tracks is a cover of Just Like Heaven by The Cure, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I like it.
I'd rather
The Cure likes it. They think it's better than their version of the song.
The Cure is wrong. That is false modesty on Robert Smith's part. He knows Dinosaur Jr.'s cover is not as good as his version. Shut the fuck up, Robert
Maybe
Smith.
Maybe he really likes it.
No,
he's entitled to his opinion. He wrote the song.
That's
he
impossible.
Is entitled.
That is impossible.
I don't think it is.
No.
Well, fine.
This is entirely false modesty on Robert Smith's part. And Robert Smith, you should know better. Shut the fuck up. You're touring and you're not coming to North Carolina because you're an asshole. And I love you.
So fuck you.
Yeah. When are we going to do our Cure episode?
I don't know. I've never listened to them.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know, like, any of their songs?
I mean, yes, I know some of their songs. I know they're like Friday I'm in Love, and I know Just Like Heaven, and some other ones probably. But I've never sat down and listened to a Cure album.
Hmm. And just
I know I'm wrong. Well, I know I have a lot. I know this keeps happening.
The Cure's an interesting band. Like they weren't always great, but they were always like interesting. I think, but
sure.
Just Like Heaven is one of those like. That's a song that really, like, lifts my spirits every time I hear it, you know?
Yeah, it's sweet.
Those synths are just godly, man. I love that song.
Yeah. It's a really good, like, really sweet song. It's a good mixtape for the one you love.
Sure.
Kind of.
Can I just say one more thing I like about You're Living All Over Me?
Yes. The title?
You know, that is a pretty good title now that you mention it.
Yeah.
I like that title.
I do too.
Do you know where it comes from?
It was something that Jay Mascis said to one of the fuckers in this band because they all hated each other. Two of them hated Jay Mascis.
Right. Anyway, I was going to say the solo and Cracked.
Yeah.
That's like, totally fucking volcanic, like the way it like, rushes up, you know? That's great. That's great.
It is great.
But yeah, that's everything good about this album.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Bug, which I know you don't like, but I like it.
Bug has two good songs, and neither of them are Freak Scene.
Yeah. You know who... what are the songs that you think are good?
No Bones and Yeah, We Know.
Those are both great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Freak Scene is notable for being covered by Blink-182.
Really?
On, like, the first thing they ever released.
I did not know that.
Because I found that on YouTube once, and I was like, okay, this is, like, me at 20 and me at, like, 13 meeting in a wood... and willing this into existence. And it's super bad, but it's like kind of endearing.
Oh, it's bad?
Like, well, yeah. Well, it's like...
Well, it's a bad song. And, like, the only thing that's good about it, again, is the production. Like, the guitars sound great on it, but...
I think that's a really good song.
Why, though? It does nothing.
I don't... Well...
It does nothing. Like, it's fucking like three chords.
Like the Grateful Dead, okay?
It's three chords looped over and over again. The melody is barely, like, there.
You know what else is three chords looped over and over again? Fucking Blitzkrieg Bop, okay?
Yeah, that's a song that does something, though.
All right, well, whatever.
It moves.
Okay? Fine.
Freak Scene just fucking lopes around and, like, it's boring. It's a boring song.
I just like it. It's I don't care what you think.
It's a mid-tempo, like, plotting, just boring song.
Seen enough to eye you, but I've seen too much to try you. It's always weirdness, why you dig it much, too much to fry you. The weirdness flows between us, anyone can tell to see us. Freak scenes can't believe us, or can it just be cool and free us?
So you like no mid-tempo plotting songs?
Well, I do if they're by Yola Tango, but...
Yeah, let's talk about that boring fucking dance.
Yola Tango has soul, alright? They're allowed to be boring.
I mean, I like Yola Tango, but they are boring. That's part of it. Those people were born old. And they make music for old people. And I like plenty of Yola Tango material, but they are way more boring than any of these three Dinosaur Jr. albums that we're talking right now.
Okay. A, there's no fucking way anything by Yola Tango is more boring than Green Mind. B, even these other two albums, fuck you.
You know what? For once, I'm standing my ground.
No, Green. We'll get to Green Mind when we get there. But the weirdest thing about Freak Scene is that it is like held up not only as this like a lot of people will tell you that's the best Dinosaur Jr. song, and I am like baffled by this.
Those people are very wrong.
Well, yeah, they're objectively wrong, but. Mm-hmm. And Held Up is like a pinnacle of 80s alternative rock in general. Like this,
yeah, that I don't get because it's a good song. It's a good opener, but it's not. I don't think it's a great song. I like the lyrics. That's the thing too. Is I like Jay Mascis's lyrics too. I find them relatable.
I like the line "The weirdness flows between us." That's a good line, but I don't like the rest of the song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Don't let me fuck up, will you? Because when I need a friend, it's still you.
See, that's me. That's me. That's me talking. Because
yeah.
I'm a fucking idiot and I do stupid things all the time.
Well, stop fucking up, Caroline.
I can't help it. I don't know why I'm like this.
Right.
Yeah, We Know is a great song. It's a cool song.
You know, that's got a little movement to it, you know? Like, unlike so many Dinosaur Jr. songs are just fucking... they just trod boringly. Mm-hmm. They just...
There is, like...
And Yeah, We Know, it's got some goddamn rhythm. It's got some life to it, man.
Sure. Like, and then there's some songs that I don't remember what they sound like, even though I've heard this album, like, 50 times.
Yeah, exactly. That's Dinosaur Jr.
It kind of is, I know. And then there's The Post, which is a great song, and Don't, which is a great song. And all together, you look back on it, and you're like, yeah, that's a good album.
See, I don't... Like... I think this is the last thing of, like, any value that they did, but even this one, like, I already think, like, they're on their way out here. You know what? I'll even turn around a little bit on Don't.
It's good.
Don't is kind of cool.
Like, Don't is great. He coughed up blood after recording it.
Is that right?
Yes. So...
Now, wait, is that a Lou Barlow track? Because...
I think it is.
Huh, because Wikipedia credits all songs he does to
He does the vocals on that, I think.
I guess he just didn't write it then.
Whatever. You know what? Whatever. He the blood. Maybe he didn't sing any blood, coincidentally. But, I don't know.
Well, song, well, that's fun, like, that he coughed up blood.
That is, yeah, that is fun. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I don't have a ton to say about this album. So it's good. No Bones is a really good song.
Yeah, how could you have a ton to say about this album? Like, nothing, really nothing is happening on it. It's...
I know.
You know, I'm glad that I'm winning this episode because.
Yeah, I'm gonna file this in the win column.
Because you know, I feel like my opinions on Captain Beefheart are objectively correct, but
nope.
And you wouldn't give me any ground on that one. But
you know what was helpful on that one is I had somebody backing me up.
That's true.
This one, I'm on my own. And it's hard. Because anytime somebody tells me that I'm wrong, I'm like, yeah, probably.
See,
I don't trust myself.
You know, I think I can be the same way sometimes. And, like, I think it comes out of an embarrassment from, like, watching other people who have way too much self-confidence.
Yes!
You know what I mean?
Yes, I remember as a kid having a conscious thought of, like, I don't want to be overly confident, so why don't I just tell myself I'm stupid every second of the day?
Right. See, and yeah, like, my whole life, like, I've just observed people who have way more self-confidence than they deserve to have, and just...
Yeah, like, and it's embarrassing.
Yes, it's incredibly embarrassing. I feel, like, this intense secondhand embarrassment for these people, and, like... And I just, like, I want really badly to not be that guy, you know?
Yep.
And, like, yep. That guy and all his various manifestations, like, I have tried to avoid being that guy. And I think it, like, can sort of, you know, you end up, like you said, just being like, ah, I'm fucking worthless. Like, yeah. You know, you gotta find a happy medium, you know?
Yeah, I still haven't found it.
Yeah, this, you know, but anyway, back to Bug.
Sure.
To talk about Freak Scene a little more, I do think it's a boring song and not a good one. But I mentioned the guitar sound earlier. I do really like the guitar sound on that track, and especially, like, the instrumental breaks, you know, the, like, and that, like, clean chord that crashes through, you know, that bling, 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 bling. Like, that sounds beautiful, man.
Yeah, see?
And it's just too bad it's in such a boring song, you know?
It's too bad it's in Dinosaur Jr. Yeah, and it's like we know too. The guitars sound really good on that.
Yeah, is it just me or does Yeah We Know, like, or at least the beginning of it, have the same melody as In a Jar?
Probably.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
They're probably not that different, but I always, like, get them confused.
Yeah. See, In a Jar has that great bass line, so. I kind of think any prominent bass line, I think it's great.
Not even Yeah. I didn't mean Yeah We Know. I meant They Always Come.
Oh, okay.
The, like,
yeah.
Beginning of the two songs sound the same to me.
Similar.
I always forget which one is which.
Yeah, well, it's because you're stupid.
That's probably part of the explanation, yes.
Nah, I think you're a lovely person. I don't think you're stupid.
I mean,
I would love to talk about Green Mind.
Hold on. Well, nah, actually, I don't want to say anything else about Book. This album basically sucks. It's got, like, a few good songs, and the rest mm-hmm. of it is passable. I definitely think it's the last good Dinosaur Jr. product.
Okay. Incorrect, because Green Mind exists.
I can't believe you like this album.
Well, let me lay
yes,
this
I know
one on
you. You're sad and you love the 70s. I get that, but is that enough? Is that all it takes?
Turnip Farm was in Reality Bites, a movie I've seen way more times than it deserves. The movie is not very good.
Turnip Farm?
Yeah, it's a bonus track.
Ah, okay. I guess never I... mind. My... Yeah, I'm already having a hard enough time without delving into the bonus tracks here.
Yeah. Also, this has Thumb, which is my favorite Dinosaur Jr. song. I think the solo is great. I think it is probably the most relatable lyrics that I found. Except for, like, I don't know, some stupid Team Dresh song or something. It's like, I like to kiss girls and cry. Because who doesn't? So,
what? I haven't really paid attention to the words. What are the sentiments expressed on Thumb?
Thumb, it's like, you know, doing good, not doing that fine, getting up most every day.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Sure. I don't know. And the song, like, it sounds sad, and the sounds like somebody that's just so frustrated that they can't do what they need to do, and you can't, like, you can't do what a normal person does because you just have something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm about. Also, a song called Puke and Cry. The few times in my life that I have thrown up, I've cried every single time.
Really?
Yeah.
Just out of, like, despair that you're throwing up, or?
I don't know why. It's just like, that's just my reaction to it. It's just crying. I think I'm so not used to it.
All right.
And I remember, like, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be like, I'm sorry. To no one, even. It's, I don't know. I don't know. I cry at everything. I cry at terrible movies just because somebody in the movie is crying. And I'll be like, I've been there, man. I've cried, too.
So, like, Thumb aside,
mm-hmm.
What do you get out of this?
I don't know. I know it's long.
It's not even that long. It's like 40 minutes.
I have the bonus tracks.
Oh, okay.
So that's long.
Well, I'm talking about the original album.
Okay.
Not even bonus tracks.
Okay, I don't know.
You don't know why you like it?
Not really. Because, like, everything you say about how this album is boring, I'm like, I know that that's true. But I like it anyway. I think The Wagon is a really good song.
I mean, The Wagon is the clear highlight of this
album. You don't see me.
And even that song is like, okay.
Alright. Well, it's fine.
You know what came out around the same time as this album?
The Pod by Ween.
Yes.
And Goat by the Jesus Lizard.
Yes.
And Nevermind.
Yes.
And some stupid fucking Pearl Jam album, probably.
Yes. But you're missing a big one.
I don't know.
You're missing a relevant one.
A relevant one? I don't know.
Fucking Sebado 3.
That's right, with classic song, The Freed Pig.
Mm-hmm. A very direct swipe at J. Maskus.
Yep. Interestingly enough, and I'm sure I mentioned this on our Breeders episode, covered by the Breeders on an EP that was produced by J. Maskus. And he didn't know that this song was about him.
That is really fucking funny.
Yeah.
Wasn't J. Maskus, like, kind of oblivious in general? Like,
yeah, and that was kind of the thing. Like, if you
like
read
he had no idea that he was a dick to, like...
Yes, and that was the thing. If you read Our Band Could Be Your Life, it was kind of a thing where he was like, yeah, I kind of just assumed that Lou would contribute more, not aware that he apparently was creating an environment where Lou didn't feel like he could. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Maskus seems like somebody who doesn't know what the fuck's going on any of the time.
Well, that makes me kind of sad. Like, maybe Dinosaur Jr. would have been a better band if Barlow had chipped in a few more songs. Maybe not,
yeah, but then
given
you
the
maybe
quality of the songs he did
maybe
contribute.
Then you wouldn't have 703.
That's true.
Which is a great album.
I love 703.
703, I know that 703 is a much better album than this album.
Well,
I know that.
Here's the thing. I think 703 might even be more of a sentimental favorite for me.
Say we kind of have the same thing going.
Well, and
that's
like I said
before.
That's
a more interesting album because that's a more diverse album.
Yeah. Like,
it's more fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, 703 is fun. You know?
Yeah.
Dinosaur Jr. is very rarely fun.
Yeah, well, you know what else isn't fun?
Hmm.
Depression.
Well, and
I believe there's a little band called Black Flag that has a song about that.
Depression's got a hold of me.
Yeah, I have an interesting dream story.
Okay.
I had a dream the other night that I went to a Black Flag show, like in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
And Henry like threw himself into a crowd and was getting beat up and shit. Got all up in my face, and I gave him a big old hug, because that's the kind of person I am. And then he was, like, kind of trying to mac on me a little bit, because I was nice to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bro, can you give me Kira's number? And he was like, ugh.
Is that the whole story?
Yeah. He didn't even give me her number. So what was the point?
What an asshole.
I know.
Okay, so The Wagon, Puke and Cry.
Yep.
Thumb.
Yeah, Flying Cloud is good.
That's the acoustic one, right?
Yeah. It's not as good as Puffy Cloud by Ween.
No, it is not.
Speaking of...
Because you know what? I remember how Puffy Cloud goes. Sure as fuck don't remember how that song goes.
Yeah. Speaking of... Our buddies in Ween getting back together.
Oh, man. That does a body good. Let me
yes, it does. I'm very happy for those boys.
Because, you know, La Cucaracha, I don't hate it, but was a bit of a bummer to go out on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's just
and plus,
not...
I really hated to think that, like... Gene and Dean had beef, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because they always seemed like they had such a good friendship, you know?
Yeah, it was a beautiful... But it's very brotherly, too. Like, brothers have beef.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
You have a brother.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
And you are a brother.
I am.
See, I have a brother, but I'm not his brother.
Right.
And we have beef.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a dick. But I'm sure I'm no prize either.
You're probably nicer than your brother.
Yeah, I try my best.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I only hear your side of the story.
Yeah.
But
I try to be nice. That's my operating rule. My brother will intentionally be a dick to people so that they won't like him. And then complain that people don't like him.
So what does he gain out of this arrangement?
I don't know. He gets to complain more. Like, I know people like me. They're wrong to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But I have proof that people like me. Regardless of how I feel about it. I don't know. So I don't get to complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get into...
trying to dig into his psychology.
Yeah. And what better way to do that than on a podcast that he does not listen to.
Hey guys, want to hear about my brother?
Yeah, that none of you know. Anyway, I also think the title track is good.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but...
it's bad.
It's not.
Yeah. And this is an album, too, where I take it all as a piece.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, it just gets me, man.
Pearl Jam is better than this.
Did Pearl Jam ever do a song like Thumb? I don't think
probably.
So.
Probably.
I don't think so. It probably. Wouldn't have been, it wasn't as good.
You know, Muck is kind of all right.
Yeah!
Because again, there's a song that moves a little bit.
Yeah, Muck is a really good song.
Yeah. Well...
I got you.
Let's not go that far.
I got you.
But it is a pleasant diversion
sure.
Coming after all this fucking mopey shit.
Yeah.
I mean. And I like the cover.
Yeah.
Little girl smoking a cigarette.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Kids should smoke more.
Kids should. I agree.
We need more smoking children.
Yeah. I think that people should smoke more in buildings.
In what?
In buildings.
Yeah, I agree with that also.
Because it's annoying to have to go outside.
At least let me smoke in a bar, man. Christ.
I agree. That's the thing, is I think that... I do think that that is a place where it should be allowed...
Yeah,
like, even if you just have a room.
Those are
dens of iniquity. That's dehumanizing,
mm-hmm.
But it's better than having to go outside.
You know, I will say this. Having, like, a smoking area in college made it really easy to meet people.
Yeah.
Because you would just, like... You know, you'd go there and there'd be other people there and, you know, yeah. You'd be smoking cigarettes and you could be like, hey, you're also smoking a cigarette. That's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Sure. It is cool. That's the thing about smoking. That's so unfortunate.
It's really cool.
It is very cool.
That you're right. That is the unfortunate aspect of it.
Yeah, because it, you know, it does nothing good. But it looks so cool.
It relieves anxiety.
It does. It does. And that's why...
And stress.
Yeah, and that's why I've been doing it more than I would prefer to be doing. Which is to say, at all. But,
yeah, everything's all right in moderation, right?
Yeah, that's right. And if it's like a couple a week, I don't think that that's that terrible. If it takes you 2 months to go through a pack like it does with me, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
Sure.
Okay, so skipping over the next three albums.
Yeah, which was a bunch of bullshit nobody cares about. They did have a song called Feel the Pain that I'm sure you guys know.
What do you think of that song?
Feel the Pain?
Mm-hmm.
It's not great. I don't know why it was popular.
just, I mean, it fit right in 94. I mean,
yeah. In that Spin Doctors era.
Yeah. It was the time of the Spin Doctors.
Two Princes is a better song than Field of Pain.
Hmm.
You know why? Because Two Princes is kind of fun. It's not good, but it's kind of fun.
They're probably about equal, I'd say.
Yeah. Feel That's pain. What I said now. You know what, though?
Hmm.
Spin Doctors did have a black guy.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's actually a surprise to me.
Yeah, their bass player.
Okay.
So, props to mixed race bands.
Good for the fucking Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
They got a black guy in there.
Yeah, for ending racism.
Racism ended with the release of Two Princes in 1994.
And Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Oh, yeah.
What was her album called?
Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
That was them. All right. That was in Primitive Radio Gods.
No, that was standing outside a broken phone booth with money in my hand.
Yeah. And it wasn't the Verve Pipe
of
the Freshman fame.
No.
And not the Verve of Bittersweet Symphony fame.
Urban Hymns.
Yeah. Man, people love that song to this day.
I love that song, Bittersweet Symphony.
Yeah, it's kind of a banger.
You don't love that song?
No, I do.
Well, you said it dismissively.
I was testing the waters to see if it was safe for me to admit that I too love that song.
I mean, look, if you loved that song and I didn't, I would have just made fun of you and we would have moved on with our lives. I mean,
yeah, and I would have been like, you're right. I'm wrong.
Right.
Because I'm an idiot.
Right.
Anyway, so Dinosaur Jr. went away for a while.
They did.
And then in 2007, 10 years after Hand It Over came out, and Hand It Over is stupid, nobody could care. Beyond came out and people really like this album, but it's kind of not that great. It's fine.
Yeah, they reunited with Lou Barlow at this point.
Original drummer Murph.
Did Murph leave too? After
yes.
Was that after Bug or?
That was after Green Mind.
Ah, okay. So
that's why Green Mind is good.
You know, like that's I don't really consider Lou Barlow or Jay or Murph to be like key ingredients in the Dinosaur Jr. sound, but
they kind of are.
Big drop off after Lou left. Even more of a drop off after Murph left. So
there you go.
Bringing them back didn't save this album though.
Yeah, Beyond is not great. It's fine.
I think this is the best of the reunion albums, I would say.
No, I like Farm. But I really have nothing to say about this album.
That is a really bad opinion, Caroline.
What, Farm?
Farm is terrible.
It's better than this.
No, it isn't.
Come on.
It's fucking wanky bullshit.
All of their albums are wanky bullshit.
Farm more than any other.
No, Farm more,
is
not
their
more than
wankiest album.
Well,
granted, I haven't listened to the '90s shit in like years, but
also consider, I do love some of the wankiest music,
right,
ever made.
You sure do.
So I have a pretty high tolerance.
Right.
So, there you go. But yeah, I have nothing to say about Beyond.
Nothing?
Not really. What do you have to say about it?
I could say a few things about it.
Okay.
Almost Ready is a pretty good song.
Yeah.
I remember when Dinosaur Jr. reunited.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the first, like, big... I mean, the Pixies, I think, were the first big indie rock reunion. But
yeah, because that was 04.
Right. But this was another one.
Like, this opened the floodgates.
It did, I think. But you know, people were really excited that Dinosaur Jr. was back.
Mm-hmm.
Almost Ready was the first single. Everyone loved it. Everyone loved this album. Like, it was very well received, if I remember correctly.
Some people will tell you that their post-reunion stuff is better than, like, their golden years.
It's better than Green Mind. See, that's the thing. This is their third best album, and this album basically sucks. So, like... you know, so that gives you an idea of what I think of Dinosaur Jr.
Sure.
But Almost Ready, you know, that's propulsive. You
yeah.
know, like it really like tumbles along, which I like. I also like Back to Your Heart, the Lou Barlow track. It has this nice like skipping kind of melody to it that I think is cool.
And it's kind of sweet. It's coming back to your heart.
Yeah. And plus, it's Lou Barlow singing and not Jay Mascis. That's always a plus.
Lou Barlow. Who? Gonna ask this question.
Okay.
Who's the most fuckable?
Of Dinosaur Jr.
of the Dino Boys.
I mean, Lou wins by default.
I'm sure he's a good time.
I mean, Jay Mascis, like...
He just lays there. It's probably a mess.
He can't work up the energy to thrust.
Ugh.
And then Murph.
Who cares?
Who gives a fuck?
Murph who?
Right. Right.
I'm sure Lou would be fun. Yeah. I'd go on a date with him.
Especially if he was on meth.
Sure. I've heard tell about... amorous activities while on meth.
But
it makes you fuck for like days. I've heard that.
I think I've, well, maybe I shouldn't bring this up on the podcast.
You think you've done meth?
No. a friend of mine told me a story about fucking on meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Was it good?
None of you know her, I can tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Who gives a shit? No, she just told me, like, she had went through a meth phase for, like, a month. I was like, okay. And she's like, yeah, it made sex amazing. It was like getting fucked by lightning. I was like, well...
I don't know whether that sounds good or not.
It sounds interesting.
It sounds different.
Yeah.
Sounds different than anything else I've had happen to me.
I feel like I may have said that on this podcast before. I can't remember.
I know that you've told me in life. I don't know if it's on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thin line between life and podcasts.
Yeah, it is.
Our podcast could be your life.
I know it's mine. Yeah, so...
You know what else is kind of cool about this album?
What?
I Got Lost kind of sounds like Yola Tango.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
I like things that sound like Yola Tango.
Yeah, you love old people music.
I do. What can I say?
Yeah. I cannot imagine the members of Yola Tango being young.
It is sort of hard to imagine.
They were born like 40.
Well, you know, they were pretty well up there by the time they made it big, you know?
Yeah.
At least by, you know, rock standards, they were. They were in their 30s when Painful came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're old souls. But they're wise, you know? That's what
they
I like
do
about
se- like, they do seem kind of like your parents.
Yeah.
They're like indie rock's parents.
Right. I've said this before, but, like... You know, I was sad about Kim and Thurston breaking up, but, like, I would be really sad if Georgia and Ira ever broke up, man.
Yeah.
Like, they... I kind of look up to them in a way.
Yeah.
I think they've always struck me as really nice people and, like, smart people. And
yeah, like, Kim and Thurston, like, you never would have expected it because they were together for so long, but then it was kind of like, yeah, you know.
But you know, even Sonic Youth, like they, there's a pose to Sonic Youth.
Yes, like, and in Yola Tango, I don't get that.
Right, exactly. Like Yola Tango, they seem
very
like
sincere,
genuine people. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Sonic Youth are very nice people, but you know, there's they're in like a rock and roll tradition of persona and performance.
Yeah, they have a persona. I don't think nothing about Yola Tango seems inauthentic.
Right, or contrived or
yeah. And Sonic Youth, that was part of them. And I that's not a bad thing.
No.
At all. Because Sonic Youth are great. They're one of the great American bands. Mm. Phylum next to the Grateful Dead. in great American bands.
Sure. Grand Funk.
Sure. Help you party it down.
Yeah. You know, going back to the Pearl Jam comparison.
Sure.
I listened to a song like This Is All I Came to Do.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the bullshit of indie rock fans like hits me like full force, you know?
How do you mean?
Like, you're telling me that This Is All I Came to Do is, like, the real shit, and Pearl Jam are, like, commercial hacks that, like...
Well, I don't like this album very much, so well, I'm not going to argue with anything.
Nah, but This Is All I Came to Do is a terrible song, and it sounds worse... Again, like, give me Pearl Jam any day. I've fucking listened to 10... before I would listen to This Is All I Came to Do. Just like it's a fucking boring ass like fuzzy alt rock ballad. Like, here's the other thing, you know, you talk about how you don't like power pop.
No, I don't.
Green Mind is power pop.
Green Mind is much rootier.
How is it not power pop though?
It's
big
more
fuzzy guitars, happy melodies.
It's like, got more of a countryish flair to me. And you know what? They're not singing about girls and and like young love and fun things.
Yeah, I guess.
None of that. That's what I don't care for. There's a sense of fun in power pop that no one needs. Who needs to have fun? No one.
That's a good motto to live your life by.
Yeah, which is false because, you know, one of the greatest albums of all time is, as we all know, the first B-52s record, which is also one of the most fun records of all time.
I thought you were going to say, and one of the greatest records of all time, fun period.
No, Funhouse. Funhouse.
Sure, that is a...
Great.
That is an excellent record.
Sure.
A
lot of wah-wah on that record.
There's a little bit.
There's enough for it to be noticeable.
All right.
I don't fucking know.
Having Fun with Elvis on Stage. Another one of the greatest records of all time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Try to think of another album that's fun.
I was too.
Shit.
Yeah, well,
now I feel stupid.
Maybe we should just move on.
Yeah. So, Farm album. I know you don't.
Holy bejesus.
I like it. It's got Imagination Blind. I don't love this album. I think this is the best of their post-reunion albums, which kind of isn't saying a whole lot, because I don't love those albums. But I like
it.
You
and I are worlds apart on this issue, my friend.
You don't like Imagination Blind?
No, I think even Lou sucks on this album. Like, this is characterless music. Like, just fucking utter blandness. Just nothing redeemable about any of it. Again, give me Pearl Jam.
All right. You can have it.
I will happily listen to Pearl Jam. If it means I don't have to listen to this.
You don't have to listen to this. This episode is almost over. You never have to listen to this again.
I know. I just like, you know, making comparisons to other things.
Sure.
And saying, like,
what
y'all,
other, what
y'all
are,
only
what
need
other,
one.
What else would you compare this to? A little Hootie?
Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, we're not talking about fish here.
It's true.
I would compare
this... I wish we were.
You know what's interesting? Because Ragged Glory, the Neil Young album...
Sure.
I actually think it sounds influenced by Dinosaur Jr.
I bet it is.
Like, it sounds like, you know, he's... sort of returning the favor, I guess.
Yeah, I would bet that it is. I mean, Neil Young is somebody who, you know, like, he went on tour with Sonic Youth, and I think he is in turn influenced by those who are influenced by him, and he's cool, and it was his birthday recently.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Neil Young.
Yeah.
Cool dude.
Sure.
Great songwriter. Better songwriter than Jay Mascis. I'll give it up.
For sure. Better singer, too.
I have to, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And cooler.
Yeah.
See, I feel like Neil Young is, like, the coolest.
He's up there.
Like, who's cooler than Neil Young?
Kim Deal. No?
It's close.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah, they're about equal.
Sure.
Dude, you know what sucks?
What?
You know, I went to ATP in 2010, and Jim Jarmusch was the curator that year.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to get Neil Young to be the headliner and, you know, to work for a reduced rate since this is like a small festival and shit.
Yeah.
And he was busy, so he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to get Tom Waits to headline for a reduced rate. And
mm-hmm.
he was busy, so he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed out on the chance to see both Neil Young and Tom Waits in, like, a very intimate, like, ballroom setting.
Yeah.
That would have been fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah. Both very cool. I didn't get into Tom Waits until a couple years ago, but
really?
He's good. He's good. Like, I had Swordfish Trombones in high school, but I wasn't super into it. And then I heard, like, Mule Variations and, like, Bone Machine, and that's my shit.
Yeah, like, I'm not a Tom Waits obsessive by any means, but just, you know, what's not to like?
Well, it wasn't that I didn't like him. I just, like, didn't explore his catalog until a couple years ago.
I do think Tom Waits attracts a certain contingent of, like, male fans who, like, really dig the kind of, like, boho, alcoholic, like, beatnik kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, like that kind of Bukowski.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're into, like, that whole vibe. Like, yeah, I'm a tough-living, like, artsy dude. Like, I'm artsy, but I'm also manly as fuck.
And
like,
he was in Mystery Men.
That movie is dog shit.
I've never seen it. I just know that he was in it.
Oh, my God. 2 laugh-free hours. Like, no joke. Did not laugh one time.
What did he do in it? Was he a major role?
He was an inventor. He, like, invented, like, gadgets for them to use.
Sure. Makes sense.
Right. Yeah, awful. Awful, awful.
Mm-hmm. He was also in Down by Law, which is great.
Down by Law's all right.
It's not, yeah, like, it's you know, I gotta give it up for Stranger in Paradise every goddamn day.
I don't know, Down by Law to me is, like, a very bare-bones Jim Jarmusch, you know, like...
Well, what's your favorite of the Jarmusch filmography?
Dead Man, no question.
Dead Man is great. It has Gibby Haynes getting a beach.
It does. Yeah, Dead Man is, like, by far his best movie.
And it has a Neil Young score. Which is great.
That, to me, I think the Neil Young soundtrack, that's what sends it over the top. From being, like, a very good movie to, like, a masterpiece.
That soundtrack is so good.
So good. Just, like, underscores every moment, like, beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we've gotten way off track, but I
what the fuck is there to talk about latter-day really Dinosaur Jr.?
There's really nothing to talk about. Farm is a fucking bore. So is the next album.
Yeah, the next one. People liked it when it came out. Did they? It's just, who could care?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, according to Wikipedia, Farm was well-received. Like, it was another well-received album for Dinosaur Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I Bet on Sky was, I mean, it got okay reviews, but it didn't do as well. Like, people weren't calling it one of the best albums of the year, which they were with Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Farm got a Best New Music from Pitchfork, and I Bet on Sky did not. And, like, I listened to these two albums, and I'm like, I hear literally no difference. I don't know how you could be like, oh yeah, Farm is awesome, but I've Been on Sky, I don't know. Like, who gives a fuck?
No, I don't know.
And the cover art is stupid.
The cover is really bad.
Their cover art has been stupid.
I think you're living all over me. That cover art is good.
Since Green Mind is what I was saying. All the cover art has been stupid.
Beyond is fine.
It's stupid, though.
It's not offensive. Not like this one.
I don't know if offensive is the word I would use for it.
Well, I mean artistically offensive.
Well, I know what you meant, but...
I don't know. This fucking looks like Scott Adams from Dilbert drew it.
I guess. It's a little psychedelic for that, I would say.
Well, like, they gave him some drugs and were like, hey, draw us an album cover. It was like, you got it, buddy.
Just imagine Scott Adams on drugs.
Why? I know very little about him as a person, except that he is, like, an MRA.
Yeah, he said something... I don't even remember what exactly he said. I'll probably mischaracterize it enormously. But he basically said that we shouldn't condemn rapists too hard because it's, like, natural male instincts or something.
Yeah, which,
which I find,
really offensive. Yeah, like, as a man, you should find that offensive.
I do. Well... It ties into that, like, larger idea of, like, you know, men always want to fuck. You know?
Yeah, which, like, is not true.
Right, like, you know.
Like, as men should think better of themselves.
Right, like.
Like, you should want to aspire to be something, like, not terrible.
That you have no control over your sex drive, and that, like, it is the guiding force behind, like, everything you do. Like,
yeah, and also, like, it's not like men are horny 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Sometimes you don't want a bone, I'm sure.
It's true. I'm tired, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you're just, sometimes that's just not what's on your mind.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, like, I'm, like, it's ridiculous to, like, it's like when I was in high school and I didn't feel good about myself and guys would be like, well, basically a girl could just, like, go out anywhere and some dude will fuck her because, like, dudes don't care. And it's like, that's not true. Like, think better of yourself.
Well,
anyway. Oh, you men. Did you watch the new Bob and David show?
I've watched 3 of the 4.
Is it good?
It's worth watching, I guess.
Yeah. I don't have Netflix, so I just am like...
Okay.
I should get Netflix. I don't have it.
You know what kind of took the shine off it a little bit is that it premiered the same day as the new John Mulaney special, which is incredible. Like,
I love him so much.
No, his new special is fantastic. Like,
yeah.
I was laughing like the entire time. Just,
is it better than New in Town?
Maybe. Like, you know, I've listened to New in Town like 5 or 6 times probably, and just this one.
I've watched it like a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's great.
It is great. And you know what I really appreciate about New in Town, and from what I've seen of this new one, like his visual eye for what the stage should look like is really, really good. PFT is the same way. Like, PFT's specials always look good.
Mm. What do you think of his new special?
I really liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it seemed short, which I don't like, but anything...
Was it, well, it might have been edited for the podcast.
It was, yeah. And that was the thing, is like next year or something, like the unedited version is going to come out. But I thought it was really good. Like, I thought the whole bit about the guy who put the foot in a crab trap was great.
The surgeons of the sea.
Yeah. and I just really appreciated it, like, for the things that it talked about and the way that it talked about it. Like, the whole thing about being a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is shit I've definitely been through, and he framed it in a way that was really funny and really true to life. So I love PFT, as you know.
He's great. He's
my ideal father figure if I didn't have a father.
Yeah, like, I thought it was a nice special, but it wasn't it was a little light on laughs for me, I felt.
Yeah.
Like, it was more like emotional, I guess.
Yeah. That makes sense. And that's kind of a thing. Like, I think my favorite thing he's done is still Freak Wharf.
Oh, okay.
Because Freak Wharf is so funny.
See, I love Laboring Under Delusions.
I mean, I love them both.
I think, like, I don't know, maybe just having that theme, like, tying together the entire.
Yeah, and that's kind of this one, too.
Mm.
It's, like, the whole thing about learning how to drive. And driving and crying, which is a thing I've done many times.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of my life, driving and crying.
Sure.
I bet it's a big part of Jay Maskus's life, but who cares? Because he's boring.
He is really boring, you know? Like, you mentioned that WTF interview, but, like, just, like, interviews I've read and seen with him...
Yeah, he just seems like he's uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is off-putting.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
He's supposed to be entertaining me.
Yeah. Which he clearly fails at doing, so maybe don't expect so much.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault for it's your fault for expecting so much.
For having expectations.
Yeah.
I feel like we should at least say something about I Bet on Sky.
Yeah, I really got nothing.
I don't either. I don't remember a single note of
it. I don't either. And I listened
to it twice.
I've listened to it a few times because I listened to it when it came out. And like here and there, I've, you know, given it a listen. I listened to it this week. I got nothing. Hmm. So I would say I've heard this album like 5 times. And I just have nothing.
And you can't hum any of the songs on it?
Nope.
Well, that's a sign of a quality album.
Yep.
What about Farm? Can you sing songs off that?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't.
So that's why Farm is better.
Yeah. Dinosaur Jr. sucks, dude.
They are, when they're good, they're really good, and when they're not good, they're just boring and lifeless.
They're
and
good.
It's very easy for them, like, because of the kind of band they are, it's very easy for them to just cross over into being boring.
Yeah, which they do all the time.
Mm-hmm. But their like best
they're,
stuff...
They're good, like, 5 to 10% of the time,
mm-hmm.
if I'm being generous.
Sure. But to me, maybe it's just me, but for me, their best stuff is... important to me. They're not like a top band for me by any means, and I wouldn't even like You're Living All Over Me, like I wouldn't even say that's like a top album for me, even though I really love it. But when they're on, I really enjoy them. I like them a lot, but when they're not, I just have nothing to say about them.
Pearl Jam.
I really don't know enough about Pearl Jam. Like, I have no animosity toward them, really. I just don't know anything about them.
You probably wouldn't like them.
I doubt I would. Like, I know enough about myself and about, like, what I know of them to be like, yeah, they're probably not for me. Hmm. But you probably wouldn't think Fish was a band for me either, now would you?
I might.
Yeah, because Fish are, like, stupid and goofy, and I don't know, so am I.
I guess it is a little bit of an anomaly in your taste, but, I mean, you know, you like a lot of, like, psychedelic music.
Right, exactly, and jazz, and improvisational stuff, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So there you go, who cares?
Alright. Well, that's Dinosaur Jr.
Yep. They're okay.
See, even you can't muster up any enthusiasm about them.
I know. I can. They have 3 really great albums and a bunch of stuff that runs the gamut from fine to boring.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. If you're a really, really big Dinosaur Jr. fan, I'm sorry. If you have a more nuanced view of them, so do I.
Next week, it's time for Jeff again to come,
oh boy,
to come up with one of
this
his.
This is gonna be a time.
Here's the thing, I like Swans, but I legitimately think this band we're doing next week is one of the greatest bands of all time. I legitimately think that.
Oh, we're in for a tie.
And I'll say by way of hint that that's not a popular opinion, that a lot of people consider this band to be absolutely ludicrous.
I'm one of them.
lots of people would say I'm an idiot for saying they're one of the greatest bands of all time.
I wouldn't say you're an idiot, but I would say that you're wrong.
Okay. I'm very much looking forward to talking about them with you next week.
I am too.
We're going to have a special guest join us also. I am hoping to convert you because I think maybe there's potential for you here. But Swans, I didn't really have any hope of bringing you around to.
Yeah.
This band, maybe.
Well, listen and find out.
tune in next week and find out.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
I think we're out. Bye, everybody.
Yep.